Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
Hey, yo.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
UCLA wins the women's national championship. Dexter Lawrence wants off of D's Giants, or Z's Giants, and the Red Sox and the Yankees seem to be going in different directions. But we begin today's show with the men's national title game. Despite a valiant effort by UConn, Michigan Wolverines are the national champions. There were no Cinderellas, and we had a 1-2 this year. There are rumors of moving to 76 or even 78 teams. Is that what the tournament needs in the nil era?
If I may quote from Ted Lasso, specifically Roy Kent, fuck no. F no. More is not better. More is not better. More is just more. More is just more. But let's analyze the game real quick. You cannot say that this was an offensive masterpiece. And we'll be polite and say that you would not consider this an offensive masterpiece. The Huskies were 21-68 from the field. 9-33 from three. Nine. Yes, they had 46 total rebounds. They out-rebounded Michigan. Michigan was ice fucking cold, too. They were 2-15 from three. You couldn't hit a bucket if their life depended on it last night. They couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. 21-55 from the field. I mean, what can you say? The highest scorer on either team only had 19 points. So you knew this was going to be a struggle.
I mean, Michigan came into this game averaging over 90 points.
Yeah, but
they blew
UConn
out
is no
almost every team they played.
But UConn is no slouch. You, as a St. John's fan, you should know this. Like you've seen UConn in person.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play you tough. They will absolutely play you tough. And the moment you switch from a basketball arena to a stadium, the depth perception is off. The shooting is... Michigan trained at the Big House. Like, I don't know how that worked. Well, it didn't. Clearly, it didn't fucking work because it was Brick City. But no, more is not better here. You know, because what are you absorbing? You're absorbing the NIT. So who's going to the NIT now? The CBA people? Who's going to the CBA or CBI, whatever the fuck it's called? That third one. Like, let's just call it that. That third one. The TTO. Right? You'll have, Lehman College will be there. It'll be Division 1, 2, and 3. Round them up. Let's fucking go. Like, it's a joke. It's absolutely a joke. And in the NIL, what's going to happen? What is absolutely going to happen? The players and coaches from the lesser-rans, the mid-majors, if you want to still call them that, because they're not mid-majors anymore. Like, in Grand Canyon was in this at one point. I thought it was online school. I thought it was fake. I didn't realize Grand Canyon was a
that
real
fucking
college. That
would be great if the University of Phoenix could
let's
get
go.
A team.
Yeah, let's go. Absolutely. We exist only online. We have a basketball team.
We got right. this. We got this.
This is cool. Fucking A. But no, the talent will be poached, whether it's on the sidelines or on the court. And the richer teams will continue to get richer. And everybody's going to get a piece of the pie. Okay, sure, fine, equity, all that. 64 teams, 2 weeks out of your life, 3 weeks out of your life, it's perfect. As is, as was, as it was. You started to lose me with the first four. Do we need as many? Like, okay, if you want to do the 65th, you know, the next team out, if you want to have the Joe Lunardi game, okay, fine, you'll have the Joe Lunardi game. Do we need four of those? Do we really need four of those? Is this really the best of the best? No. Frankly, no. Like, we could cut this shit in half. You can cut it to 32 teams if you really want the Joe Lunardi game, 33. Right? Have one of them, and it's a 16 seed. Like, that's it. If you're really the best of the best, that's it. That's it, and that's all. But kudos to Michigan. They won it. It was ugly, but they won it. And, you know, you sent something very interesting to me, that the head coach of Michigan in two seasons has delivered a chip. Meanwhile, his counterpart in East Lansing hasn't delivered one in 30 years. Ooh. 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 Coach Tomlin Izzo. Like, that's a problem. It's an uncomfortable conversation that needs to be had. But not the best of games, not the cleanest of games. They're not going to go away from stadiums, because that means fewer tickets and that means less money in the coffers. So less is more sometimes. And I think that 76, 78, what's next? 84? 90? Like, no. At some point, enough is enough. You like to say, like, the baseball playoffs were a shark. They were perfect. It was exactly how it should have been. And you start fucking with it. You start messing with it. You start adding teams. You start adding wild cards. You start having first round buys. And now the best teams don't always make it, right? It's the hottest team or the healthiest team or the team that has momentum. The NCAA tournament is a war of attrition. It is a tournament of attrition. Survive in advance. Jim Valvano, right? And it goes all the way to that. And there's something needs to be said about that. But if you're going to have teams that shouldn't be in there, all you're doing is bastardizing your own product.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed a lot of it. I have a lot to say, but I'll try to keep it as short as possible.
Or is but, yours.
That perception is big. And I don't know. I get why they want to put it in these stadiums, but I mean, the shooting's awful. It's terrible. It's never going to get any better. I had a stat that I shared with you. I'll share it here. This is from OPTA Stats. In the NCAA tournament, teams are 1-50 all time when scoring under 70 points, shooting under 40% from the field, shooting under 15% from three on 15 plus attempts, and getting out rebounded. And Michigan was the first team to ever win in that circumstance. Jesus. You know, I think Charles Barkley said it best at halftime. He's like, you know, UConn's doing everything right. They're still losing. And they're still going to lose. They went up against a better team. I mean, I'm not saying UConn didn't belong there. They certainly did. They beat all the teams they were supposed to beat. And they did not have they had a tough road. But they went up against a tougher team. I mean, you're talking about Michigan. All five starters were transfers. They had a guy. They had two. I think they had one or two professional European players on their team. Because now that's allowed. Because in the nil era,
right?
You know, what are you gonna? They did what they held them under 90. How much of that was depth perception? How much of that was good defense? I don't know. But they went in with a plan.
The wingers that are on their team.
They went in with a plan and they executed it, right? Let's keep scoring down. Let's keep this in the 60s and the 70s, and we got a chance to win. And they did. They were within six. That's a victory. The point spread was actually seven, believe it or not. gotta hand it to UConn. They put up a good fight. They just didn't hit shots. They hit shots. They come closer. They win. Same could be said for Michigan. They hit more threes. This game's not even fucking close. So, you know, and as far in, the only thing I'll say about adding more teams is, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. Okay, and the reason why I say it doesn't matter, specifically in college basketball, in the nil era, is that the cream is going to rise to the top. Over that span of 2 weeks or 3 weeks or however long this tournament's played, the best teams are going to advance. You're not going to change that. You're going to get ones, twos, threes, fours, and fives. I don't think you're going to get eights. I don't think you get nines or tens in the final four. They might get out of the first weekend and they might win, you know, they might do some of that, but as far as being a team like Michigan who can actually build a semi-pro team, I mean, come on. Michigan's right. Team is like a semi-pro fucking team. Like, that's how good they are. They play and they look like NBA players. They've got muscles and they've got goatees. They're adults. They're full-blown adults. Okay? So your Florida Gulf Coast, your VCUs, no. Now, if Texas has a down year, maybe Texas can, you know, be 11, an 11 seed and a 12 seed and go further. But, you know, the way that teams are being built this year or during the nil era and the way the tournament's designed, there are nice stories. There are nice opportunities for little schools to get seen. But as far as them getting to a Final Four with the likes of Duke and the likes of North Carolina and the likes of Michigan, not a chance, man. Not a chance.
No. And let's talk about this for a second. So you're talking about how you have professional European players coming over here with eligibility because they have college eligibility. They're good to play. Now, guess who else has eligibility for college? LeBron. Kevin Garnett. Like, who's to say? Like, and I know, like, that's an extreme example, but, like, they have years of eligibility. If they wanted to scratch that itch, technically they'd be allowed to. At what point does the NCAA say, nah, this has gone too far?
Well, like, I don't know if you
paid to play someplace you shouldn't be allowed at a professional rank.
Some seniors, with they're in their seventh and eighth year of college. Man, you're a fucking doctor.
What was that, JT Daniels, the quarterback? He's working on
something here? I sent to you, remember? He's like, dude, yeah. What are you doing?
What the fuck? It's like, clearly you don't want to leave college. Clearly you're enjoying
the
experience.
It's a good rap. I mean, I'm not hating on him. I think I'm good for him for stretching it, but come on, man. I mean, Chandler Morris, Virginia quarterback, seventh season in college. He's probably going to take them to court and win. But I don't know what the answer is. You know, one of the things that Rick Pitino was talking about, which I found very interesting, is that, you know, he understands why Jay Wright left. He understands why Roy Williams left. He understands why Mike Krzyzewski left, because you can't build a college program anymore. No. I can't develop a team. You know, I'm pretty much taking free agents every year, and halfway through the season, we kind of figure it out. You know, he talked about how he coached Donovan Mitchell, and Donovan Mitchell had a terrible shot. And it took time for him to develop the arc and develop into an NBA player, which now I'd say I could argue that Donovan Mitchell is a top 15, top 20 player in the NBA. You lose that now. He talked about Terry Rozier. Terry Rozier might not be an NBA player if it's not for Rick Pitino and playing for Rick Pitino and learning how to play the game of basketball. So, you know, you lose that family sense. You lose that team aspect of how, you know, we develop as a team and how we play as a team, how you become a basketball player. Now, granted, the top players, yeah, they could bounce from different schools like Zubi Ejiofor and Ian Jackson. They could bounce around to different schools and they could probably still get drafted. But, you know, there are role players and that there are guys that have talent. And if given enough time, if given enough opportunity with a team, they could develop into a pro, and you lose that. And so, you know, Rick was talking about how, you know, it's changed the college game, and he's like, I can't get mad at a guy that has the opportunity to make six figures if he leaves here. good for him. Go. I don't know what his future holds. I can't get upset at the guy that there's a school that's going to give him $80,000 more than I can. Guys, just, you know, there's no fix for this. The only thing, like Rick was saying, is you make them employees, make them sign contracts, and you give them a salary. But other than that, I don't know. It just sucks because you're going to lose that. You're going to lose the appreciation of a program where you don't get five senior transfers. You've got two juniors and three seniors that have been with you for 4 years. And you lose that. And that stinks.
Right. I mean, that's what made Gonzaga special. When Mark Few was first building that program, you had four-year starters. You had players that stayed.
Yeah.
Right? And now you don't get that. Now you're going to get the one and done. And not even the one and done to the pros. Like, that's the fucking thing that's galling, though, is that you made it into NBA light. You really did. What's next? Load management? Like, is that what is?
Oh,
is
that already started, right? Defense? You had guys pulling themselves out of games.
Yeah, I'm protecting my draft stock. Why? Why are you protecting your draft stock? You're making more money now than you could make in the NBA.
We're paying you, aren't we?
Right, exactly.
Like, I'm confused.
That's the thing. The G League is what's really going to suffer here. And to a degree, the NBA is, because, you know, you're effectively, this is becoming like a spring league. Like, it's weird. It's just a weird, weird thing. And the only thing, and as crazy as this sounds, but it is what it is, like, if you had teams, professional teams, link up with colleges and they become your official feeder team, like something like that, it's becoming a minor league anyway. So
I don't watch enough of the G League, but I wonder how much different the basketball is in the G League compared to college. You know, I don't watch enough of the G League.
So should the G League be? There's an interesting idea. Instead of having 76 or 78 teams, what if you put like the G League, two G League teams in there and see what they can do, or have the winner of the NCAA tournament play the G League champion?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Food for thought.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
But the women's NCAA tournament ended over the weekend with UCLA pounding South Carolina 79-51. Despite an outstanding tournament, everyone has been talking about the interaction between Gina Auriemma and Dawn Staley at the end of the UConn-South Carolina game in the Final Four. How could anyone defend Gino or defend Gino's actions after that game?
Stomping his feet, holding his breath, having a temper tantrum because he had to wait 3 minutes for Dawn Staley to come over and shake his hand.
Pre-game, right?
Yeah. Like, this is so petty. It's such petty bullshit. Now, you know, he stomped off, went down the tunnel alone after getting into an altercation with Dawn Staley, heated up altercation. Just a year ago, he waited, arms wide open, waiting for her to hug him. And how just 1 year later, he acts like a petulant child. Now, it's inexcusable. It's completely inexcusable. He did apologize. It was a very boilerplate apology. You know, you could say it was ChatGPT, whatever, or just a really good press department. But the bottom line is this. You can't act like that. You can't act like a spoiled fucking brat. Mm. And that's what Gino... That's the problem with Gino sometimes. Is that sometimes he's gracious in defeat. Sometimes he's a spoiled fucking brat. And that's just the way it is with him. And yeah, I get that other teams are now bubbling up. UCLA is bubbling up. The coach after the game said, "I'm exhausted. This is the hardest I've ever had to work." Like, okay. Like, you know, that's fair. That's fair. In the NIL, absolutely. This is the hardest you're ever going to have to work. Because you have to keep these players engaged. You have to keep them with you, or else, I'm gonna jump in the transfer portal. I'm gonna go to Clemson, or I'm gonna go to South Carolina, or I'm gonna declare for the WNBA draft, even though I'm not ready. You know, that's the case. This is the world that we're living in right now. And it's just a bad look, especially since Gino, a white male, is stomping his feet and acting a fool in reference to a woman of color in Dawn Staley, who is a very good coach and probably will be an NBA head coach someday. I think she had the interview with the Knicks. She is held in high regard, and I think it's going to happen. Maybe not with the Knicks, but I think she will beat Becky Hammon to the punch, and I think that she will end up being the head coach of a men's professional basketball team someday. Her pedigree is that good. So it's a bad look optically. It's a bad look all the way around. And I don't see, unless you are full on UConn rose colored glasses, you know, there's no way. It's indefensible.
Yeah, the thing about it is like, you are a man coaching a college woman's team.
Yes.
Like, take the temperature of the situation, and you've had so much success. You're the most successful women's college coach in the history of women's sports, right? And you have championships, you have tons of players that have gone to the WNBA. Be the better person here. Like, hey, get there, shake her hand, and say, hey, maybe even whisper, I want to talk to you later, if that's what you want to get off your chest. But to do it on television, to do it in that moment, come on, you got to be better than that. One of the things is when you're a coach, you constantly talk to players and tell them to have composure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Control your, don't go screaming at the ref. Keep your emotions in check. If teams get up on us, it's all right, we'll battle back. If you're up on teams, it's like, all right, don't get too excited. Like, let's just keep the pace. Let's keep it going. And in this situation, you got hot-headed and you got upset and you decided to blow it. Like, come on. Where's your composure? Where's your maturity? You're supposed to be an adult. This sport, which you have really put on the map, you made this all about you. There's nobody talking about UCLA, and I think I can't even tell you. I think they won their first ever title, right? But this is overshadowed because you can't say good game. Good That's game. It. You beat us. Dawn, I'll talk to you later. Something I want to talk to you about. Bring it up later. Call her 2 weeks from now. Call her a week from now. But instead, you took that opportunity to let her know how you feel. Not only that, you stomped off. Then you took to the presser, and you're throwing her under the bus and throwing their team under the bus and making up all this bullshit that nobody wants to hear. Where's the sportsmanship in this? Like, throw all that out the window? Yeah. Because she didn't come shake my hand pregame? Huh? What? Doing this for a long time? Not long enough, quite honestly. Come on, there are fucking 20-year-old, 21-year-old people coaching Pee Wee doing better than you are. It's a game. It's not about you. But I can see how he thinks it's about him. And maybe that's the bigger problem here.
Yep. And I think that some of this is him not really having the rival anymore. Because when it was him and Pat Summitt, it was on. And now that it's just, he's looking for that rival. And Dawn Staley, he's identified Dawn Staley as that rival. But I don't think Dawn Staley's taking the bait, because I think that, one, she has her focus on her program, and I think she also, I think she does have eyes on something bigger, because Gino, how many opportunities did he possibly have, right? I'm sure there are pro teams that call, WNBA teams, maybe even an NBA team called to see, hey, let me take your temperature on this. Would you be willing to leave UConn? You're a great coach. Would you be willing to do that? And I don't know whether he was just I got a good thing going, or He's just, he knows the track record of college coaches that go to the pros.
I think it's more or less like the Kevin Durant thing, is he's taking his smell of himself and he knows what he is.
Yeah.
He knows what he is. I'm a women's college basketball coach. That's who I am. I'm not a pro coach. I'm not a men's coach. I'm not a NBA coach. I'm a women's college basketball coach. I'm going to stay in my lane.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to fret him for that. That's cool.
But then you have to act accordingly. Like, you have to be the professional, right? You're a professional basketball coach. That means you got to let some stuff roll off your back, right? Somebody, a perceived slight, like a non-handshake. Like, dude, you're a grown-ass man. That's it. You're a grown-ass man. You just let that roll.
Let that roll. After a woman.
Right.
After a women's basketball game. What are we talking about right now?
Right. Like, it's a bad look.
You're upset you lost. I get it. We'll talk about it later, man. Like, go be pissed off in the locker room. This isn't like a Jim Schwartz Harbaugh situation. Like, come on, man.
It's not Pete Carroll. What's your deal, bro? What's your deal, bro?
Bro.
No. But now he and Hurley can go and yell at each other. Like, I would love to see that. Go pick on somebody your own size with a mouth as loud as yours.
Big Fork Brands brings bold bacon sausage, paleo pork jerky, and Chicago-style sauces to your table. Enjoy rich, smoky flavors made with sustainable ingredients and chef-crafted care. Enjoy an exclusive 20% discount with our promo code DNZ. Find them at BigForkBrands.com. That's 20% off using our promo code DNZ at BigForkBrands.com.
Well, sticking with college sports for all our failed college athletes out there, North Carolina has a new head basketball coach, and it's not who you think, Z. Mike Malone, the former coach of the Denver Nuggets, will be the next head coach of the Tar Heels. First, Bill Belichick gets hired as the head coach of the football team. Now this, how will Tar Heel Nation feel about their new basketball coach?
A career 5'10 and 394 in the NBA. That's okay. I mean,
I've actually talked to some Tar Heel people I know, and they're just really confused. They're confused because
it sounded like Billy Donovan was in the bag, man. It sounded like
you reported.
This was Yahoo. Like, this was...
that was Yahoo.
Yeah.
Throw Yahoo under the bus.
Well, no, 100%. Like, this is the report that Billy Donovan was their priority, and it was close. But apparently not close enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I've talked
What did you ask me when I told you that Billy Donovan... Well, how is it going to work with the Bulls?
Yeah.
Clearly, it didn't. But then the Bulls also fired their GM and team president. So Billy Donovan might have been available. You just give him a couple of weeks.
He might still get fired.
Right. It's a bloodletting in Chicago. So that, you know, you might have been premature here. You might have been able to get your guy. But, I mean, this is kind of an hire, you know? You're not getting the gravitas of Bill Belichick. You're not getting 7 rings. You're not getting... that level. You're not getting the 33rd team. You're getting a guy who has a ring. He has a ring. But if you give me Jokic and Jamal Murray, I think I could probably get you a ring. You know?
At least one.
I'm pretty sure I could get, and throw in Aaron Gordon, I might be able to get you 2. So my concern with this is that what can he do without a great player like Nikola Jokic? Like, what is there in Chapel Hill? And what's going to keep them there? Because they can go anywhere. And that's the beauty of the NIL, right? They can enter the transfer portal and then go anywhere they fucking please. Right? And these are Hubert Davis's players. So they have no loyalty to Michael Malone. Right? They don't have, you know, they don't have any, most of them don't have any loyalty to the program. They'll go where the check clears. So I think they could have done better. Malone is good. He doesn't strike me as a very player-friendly coach anyway. He kind of comes off as a prick sometimes. And that's certainly going to rub an 18-year, 19-year-old kid the wrong way. Like, you know, coach, why are you being such a fucking prick? Like, it's a, you know, like, he'll
such
get
a
after...
dick.
Don't be a dick, man. Like, he gets... He got after players in the press. It's a very old-school move. It's a very effective move on adults. Right? It's... Kids these days, a lot of them don't act like that. They don't respond well to criticism, specifically public criticism. And shit like that, that might give him some learning, that might give him some growing pains there. And they'll still be fine, they'll still be, you know, near the top because they're North fucking Carolina. Right? They'll still... The cream will rise to the top, but I just, in the long term, I think it's just going to be an higher, just like Belichick is proving to be an higher. And in a few years, Malone will be gone and they'll be looking for somebody else.
Yeah, like I was trying to say, most of the Tar Heel people that I've talked to are confused by the hire because mm-hmm. the Tar Heels like to hire Tar Heels. Like, you know, yeah. they like to keep it in the family, so to speak. You know, a lot of the people that work for the team or work part of that department have been there for years, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, because it's a hard Tar Heel thing. Now, you're bringing in Mike Malone, who has no real relationship with the team, these coaches, the school, or anything.
No.
He's going to bring in his own people, right? He's going to, you know, he's going to bring his team in, his coaching staff. He's going to bring in, you know, he's going to want to put people in the athletics department. Now, are those people going to stay with North Carolina forever? Or are those people going to leave when Mike Malone leaves? That's changing the culture of North Carolina basketball. But maybe this is what they want. They don't feel like they've had the success that they should have had the last 5 years. And they're trying something different. It seems to me they're looking at Bill Belichick and they're looking at Mike Malone and saying, you know what? Seems like college sports is moving towards a professional feel. You know, mm-hmm. we're every year we're trying to attract free agents. You know, these are guys that are looking to play professionally. You know, we need a coach that can be able to not just build a program, but we need somebody that can coach five random people or seven random people that we just bring together. Can you? No, that's the truth, Z, because every year you're going to get between 7 to 8 transfers that you're going to tell you're going to have an opportunity to play. And you need a coach that's able to do that. Now, we know that May and Patino and Calipari, we know all of them are capable of it. But what other people are capable of it? Is Hubert Davis capable of that? I don't know. Cadeau was with the Carolina Tar Heels. He left to Michigan and just won a national title. Ian mm-hmm. Jackson was with the Tar Heels. He left to go play at St. John's. So clearly they're having a problem keeping talent. But then again, everybody is, right? Everybody is having trouble. So they think they're being smarter than everybody else by bringing in professional coaches. Bill Belichick has got a reputation and he's got a lot of hardware, but he had Tom Brady. You bring in Mike Malone, who had Jokic, and he spent a ton of time in the NBA. The college game is
eligibility.
The college game is different than the pro game.
Yes, it is.
In basketball and in football. But they're trying something new. I don't think it's going to work, but, you know, they're trying something.
I still think Donovan provided a better shot in that he has coached college before. He's coached in that kind of scenario, and he has won in college. I think that has some sway there.
But now, would he want to go back? If you were him, would you want to go back? I wouldn't want to go back.
I'd want to go to a place where I actually will have a job. Like, seeing the landscape
but
of
he's
Chicago...
already won. He won with Florida. And he's had opportunities to go back to college. Why North Carolina? Why now? Why would... I don't know. I don't know if... I don't think he's got a bug in his ass to go back to college.
Let's look at the landscape of the NBA. What jobs are going to be available? Looks like Billy Donovan's probably going to be out in Chicago. Like, you have a team, new team president and a new GM. They're going to want to bring their people. Like, that's just the case. Like, would you say New Orleans is going to move on? Is Memphis going to move on? Like, is, you know, are the Nets going to move on? Like, what teams can be available? And is that enticing to Billy Donovan? Whereas a team with a school with the gravitas and the name recognition and the cachet of a North Carolina, it keeps you on the forefront of people's minds. It kind of allows you to reheat a little bit because, you know, what were the Bulls under Billy Donovan? Kind of okay.
Mm-hmm.
There. He has a chance to reignite some things and possibly get a better NBA job down the road if he views himself truly as an NBA coach. And guys do that. Like, we've seen that. We've seen guys go down to college, kind of reheat their names a little bit. I think Eric Musselman, for example, like he did that a little bit. But, you know, if he's overlooking the landscape of the NBA and finds that, shit, they're really, like, do I really want to go coach the Sacramento Kings? Fuck no. F no. Right? Maybe UNC would be appealing to him.
Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com.
All right, moving over to football. Dexter Lawrence, the outstanding defensive tackle of the Giants, has X for a trade. The Giants and Dexter are too far apart on contracts, so Dexter will not be taking part in the offseason program. And Harbaugh has said that everybody's tradable. Okay, good start, coach. Should the Giants trade Dexter Lawrence, let this play out, or give the man what he wants?
They've been letting it play out for two seasons. They've been trying to get him extended for two fucking seasons, and it's not happening. So, if he's not willing, maybe it's time to cut your losses. Now, here's the thing. He is the best nose tackle in the NFL.
That's high praise.
The best. Statistically, there's Dexter Lawrence, and then you go way, way down here, and then you have Vita Vea. Statistically. Now, the rest of the league figured out, fuck, just don't run up.
Where's Chris Jones on that list? Just curious.
Technically not a nose tackle, a defensive end. Technically not a nose tackle. But they figured it out. Well, fuck, just don't run up the middle. Run to the outside. And then what happened? They get gashed for 70, 80 yards because they can't seal the edge.
Oh, shit.
Get on your horse. Here we go. And sure as shit, Dexter Lawrence ain't getting out there. Like, that's impressive when he does. I think he chased down Saquon. Like, that's kind of impressive for a guy of, you know, Dexter Lawrence's size to get out there. But you can't expect that every play. He had half a sack last year. Half, Eddie. Like, that's no good. Like, yes, he's a brick wall when they run at him. So I think trading him would be a good way to go. Now, I threw out an idea. Now, you can think about this. The Tennessee Titans are collecting Giants, and they're collecting Jets. It'd be worth Quinnen Williams.
They sure are.
They're collecting Giants and Jets. Now, if you were the Giants and you got the Quinnen Williams deal for him, you take that. You sign up for that.
You're asking.
Absolutely. You. Yeah. You would. Because if I can get the number 4 pick for Dexter Lawrence and a little bit more, so like a first, a second for Dexter Lawrence, I'm signing up for that because he's demonstrating that he's not willing to sign the contract. He's not willing to get extended. So this is not going to end well. This is two seasons in a row.
You're trying to but I'm signing him. I'm trading for him, and then I'm going to get him to sign a contract.
Possibly. Maybe he wants to be in Tennessee.
So you're telling me you want me to trade all those assets for a rental?
You were going to do it for Max Crosby. Like, these teams were going to do it for
Hold on. Not everybody was going to do it for Max Crosby, okay? The Ravens did it for Max Crosby, and then they were like, fuck that.
The Cowboys were going to do it for Max Crosby.
You would agree that the Cowboys, the Patriots, and the Ravens are in a slightly different position than the Tennessee Titans are, right?
The Tennessee Titans have made a significant investment in their team this year. They are certainly better, and they will be better than they were last year.
They absolutely will be. Who is playing running back for that team that's better?
I don't know.
Don't even answer that question. Who is playing wide receiver for this team that's better?
Wandale Robinson.
Who?
And that is a damn good. He was one of the better slot receivers in the league last year. Scoff all you want. Look at the numbers. You want to scoff because he's small. Guess what? He caught the fucking ball and he ran away from people. Wandale Robinson had a very good year last year.
I'm just not sure a defensive tackle that I'm renting is the way I need to go right now from the Titans, but tell me this other trade that you were conjuring up that you think is worthwhile.
You have the Quinnen Williams deal, right? First and a second, Dexter Lawrence goes to the Titans. That's fine. I think that's more than fair.
If you're the Giants, you think that's fair?
I do. I want a one and a two. I want what Quinnen Williams, because Quinnen Williams is not as good as Dexter Lawrence. And Quinnen Williams got that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I want at least that.
Okay.
Now, I can keep 4 and 5 and draft accordingly, right? I can go get, you know, a wide receiver. I can get another linebacker. I can get a defensive end. Or I can push my chips in the middle and see what the Raiders want for Max Crosby. So now I have a pass rusher to go along with Brian Burns. I would say that's pretty damn good. Max Crosby, I know you said he's defective because of his knee injury. It's his knee injury. Like, if I would fake a knee injury too if I was playing for the fucking Raiders last year. shit. Like,
no, he had meniscus surgery. Come on. He had meniscus surgery.
He did. But you can clean that up. In 7 years.
You can clean that up in a weekend.
Yep. You rehab it. Have fun. You're good. In 4 out of his 7 years, he had 10 sacks or more. I'm willing to roll the dice on that. I'm willing to see what the Raiders would want. Because they have number one already, right?
Right.
Would they want? Would they be willing to jump in for number 5? Would they be willing to? Or number 4? Would they be willing to? Or, if I'm able to get that deal done, I now have pick 4 and 5. Wait, I'm sitting pretty good. And I'm not trading. I'm trading an asset that doesn't want to be here. He's demonstrating he doesn't want to be here. So, we will happily oblige you, sir. I just don't see why it's not worth kicking the tires on. It's worth it. Because you had 2 shots, and you still haven't signed this deal. You still haven't figured it out. You don't want to make this happen. It's like Pete Alonso with the Mets. How many times do you need to negotiate before you realize, fuck, he really doesn't want to be here? Maybe, he doesn't want to be here. And at some point, you just got to let it go. Because he and Crosby are the same age. So, I would be willing. I would be willing to make those moves and kick the tires and see what the Raiders were thinking and what the Titans were thinking.
Right, so the Raiders are like, you know what? Okay. We'll make the deal. Dexter for Crosby. We want your first rounder this year, and we want your second rounder next year.
For wait, Dexter, a first and a second?
Yeah.
For Crosby. No. No, no, no. And that's not what I said. I said you get the number four from Tennessee. So he goes to Tennessee. Now, if they wanted to deal that way, Dexter in a second for Crosby, or...
Yeah, that's what they want. Saying you're not giving up the first.
I'm not giving up the first, a player, and a second. I'm not doing that. That's insane.
I think the problem becomes with Dexter Lawrence, and kind of why he's not tradable, is because I gotta trade him, and then I gotta sign him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I could do both. That's the problem teams are gonna face, and that's why I don't think he's tradable. I just don't think so. Because you're asking me to do something that I don't know how this is all gonna play out. Because he's not gonna come here and play. He's not going to play. He's not going to play without a new deal. And I'm sure his new deal, he wants to probably be the highest paid defensive tackle, right?
More than likely.
Yeah.
And well, just went to Trey Hendrickson, I believe. So is he better than Trey Hendrickson?
Yeah.
It's apples and oranges, man.
Is who what, better than what? Trey Hendrickson?
Dexter Lawrence.
Yeah, he's better than Trey. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm arguing it's apples and oranges, man. Trey Hendrickson's a pass rusher. Dexter Lawrence is not a pass rusher. He's a run stuffer.
Dexter Lawrence is a problem. He's a fucking problem. He's a problem. My man's chasing running backs down, running down the sidelines, man. He's getting penetration on every fucking play. He's a problem up front. So, yeah, I disagree with you.
He got half a sack last year.
He got half a sack, but what was his pressures like? So, how many times is he in the backfield? You know, this is the thing that I'm curious about. Like, I think he's a great player, and I do think he should get paid. I'm not saying he shouldn't, but to find someone that's going to trade, I don't know.
So 4 tackles for loss last year, 8 quarterback hits in 17 games. That's pretty fucking rough. That's pretty rough. And he's never... I mean, that was in half. His quarterback hits were cut in half from the previous season. In fact, his quarterback hits have been on decline since 2022.
I feel like Joe Shane is going to just fuck this up no matter how you shake it.
No, I don't trust Joe Shane to make the move. But I think it's a move that needs to be explored. As a Giants fan... If you're showing me that you're not willing to play ball here, Coach Harbaugh's right. Like if you're not willing, we'll find somebody who is. Like that's like look at all the Ravens he brought in. You're telling me he can't find another ex-Raven? Like he's got a whole set of them. Like yeah. You know, he apparently brought in Stout. He brought in Likely.
He brought Likely.
Washington. He brought in Likely. Likely is going to be the number one tight end.
Likely's awesome.
Likely's a good move for them. And so is Stout. Jamie Gillen was a problem last year. Like, Stout is a damn fine punter.
A damn fine punter. We'll see how it plays out. But like I said, I mean, I'm down on Crosby. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a great player. He's got a knee issue, which you can be cleaned up over the weekend. I'm sure he's going to be fine, but I'm not paying top dollar for him. No. And you can put him in the same boat as Dexter Lawrence as you want, but I think we both would agree that you'd rather have Dexter Lawrence than have Max Crosby, right?
Honestly, I've seen Dexter Lawrence the past 4 seasons has declined because teams are running away from him. That's it. Max Crosby lives in the backfield. And you pair him with Brian Burns, that's a pretty good combo. And that makes Kayvon Thibodeau more expendable, if you're so inclined to move him. And the Giants seem inclined to move Kayvon Thibodeau.
Just move all these Shane guys out of here.
But they re-upped Evan Neal. Make that make sense. Make that make sense.
He's got pictures of his wife or something.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
The New York Yankees and the Red Sox seem to be heading in two different directions early in the season. The run it back Yankees are dominating teams with excellent pitching and have been able to score runs in every game they have played. The Red Sox can't seem to score. And the starting rotation of Crochet, Suarez, and Gray have been less than stellar so far. So are you buying or selling either of these teams at this point in the season?
No, it's way too... It's 10 games in a 162-game season.
Too small of a sample size. So it's not a great way to judge us.
Not at all. Not at all. This is not...
I believe in what we're doing here.
Yeah. And... when you look at it, we were concerned about the Red Sox pitching from the standpoint of Sonny Gray.
Right? Who he won. He actually won a game.
Oh, I think I wet my pants.
I know. It was right. In Fenway, too, I think.
Hey, attaboy, Sonny. Good job. But they've been the top three have been a problem. Crochet, Suarez, and Gray. Now, Gray was a question mark. Suarez, you figured he would be okay because he pitched in Philly. And I still think that's okay. I still think that's going to be the case. You got to get the bats going. Roman Anthony needs to, you know, let that fucker loose. Kid's got a good arm. So I don't know if he's just like, I don't know what's going on there. But it's too early to say he's got the yips. But Willier Abreu cannot be the best player on your team.
Right.
He's very good.
He is right now. He's
and he can't
amazing.
He can't beat them. Right? You need more. You need more from these guys. Now the Yankees, 7-2 on the year, only allowed 3 runs? 3 runs? Absurd.
They just allowed 3 runs to Oakland today, so that's 6 runs.
Yeah, so now 6 runs. There you go. So 6 runs. 6 runs in this is now their 10th game.
No, it's got to be more than that. No,
they're 7-2. This is their 10th game.
Yeah, but they've given up more runs than that because the Marlins scored 6 runs against them recently.
So
let's see what the points against are. Runs against 22. It's 22.
Yeah.
They've scored 47 and they have given up 22. So they're plus 25.
Yeah, so that's excellent run prevention,
best
right?
Best in the league.
They have not yet faced...
Oh, no, third best in the league. Third best in the league.
Well, the Dodgers put a whooping on the Blue Jays, so I'm assuming
Dodgers
they're...
Dodgers are fucking... They're going to get... The cops are going to get called on them, what they're doing to
Jesus
the Blue Jays.
Jesus Christ. They're going to get put on charges.
The Milwaukee Brewers are plus 30, and the Dodgers are plus 32.
So, it's about run prevention.
But actual still, the Yankees are looking pretty good for the run it back Yankees. They're 7-2.
But here's the thing. Who have they played of consequence?
Hey, man, they played the Marlins, who are the best team in the NL East.
They're 6-5. Yes.
Are they that bad?
The Marlins are 6-5. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, they're maybe
6-4.
Or
they're 6-4, half game back.
Okay, like 6-4. Is that what we're talking about right now? Like, no.
Going into that series, they were 5-1.
Okay. And who did the Marlins play? But they didn't beat the Dodgers.
Nobody's beat the Dodgers.
So, you know, that would impress me. That would impress me if they went and took 2 out of 3 in Chavez Ravine. That ain't happening. All right? The Blue Jays have taken a step back so far because of all the injuries. The Tigers have not been great. The good teams that we expect to be good have not taken that step. Except for the Dodgers, because there is no step. Like, they're there. Like, there is no fucking step. God damn it. There is no step to take. So with the Yankees, you have to be concerned about the quality of competition that they're playing. Yes, they're playing who's on their schedule, but we're going to talk about the Giants later. The Giants are a fucking mess. The Giants are a complete and utter fucking mess. They're playing the A's right now. The A's were fucking terrible. The A's are fucking terrible. I had higher hopes for the A's, right? No, apparently not. Apparently I was mistaken. That's my bad. I'm sorry about that. They will be tested. The Yankees will be tested. And they will level off like everybody else. Because you're never as good as when you're going well. And you're never as bad as when you're dog shit. The Yankees have yet to hit their dog shit patch. It is too early in the season. Right? The same way, it's too early to write off the Red Sox. It's too early. Like, look at the Pirates, for Christ's sake. The Pirates, I think, are a game over 500. Are we flying the Jolly Roger and we're feeling good? The White Sox are competing. Currently, I think the White Sox are like a game under 500. Yeah!
Yeah, they're winning games.
It's a moral victory. Moral victories don't exist in professional sports. Give it time. The cream rises to the top. Which, where I expect the Tigers to be, where I expect the Rangers to be, where I expect the Mariners to be. The Blue Jays are going through hell right now with their injuries. Scherzer, I think, had to leave the game yesterday.
Yeah, they got crushed 14-1.
Yeah, so Scherzer, Barrios, Yesavage, keep going.
They seemed really ready for that World Series rematch.
Well, when half of their team's on the IL, when their rotation is on the IL, that's kind of a problem. But Dylan Cease is going to have his work cut out for him there. Single-handedly keeping them above water. But it's way too early. You got
to
give them
time. He lost to the White Sox. He lost to the White Sox.
Yeah.
For the love of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know it's early, but I'm selling the Red Sox. They're just like you said, the Wilder Abreu cannot be your best player. Roman Anthony, while good, he's not great. I had him pegged for MVP. Probably still a little ambitious of me. He could still turn it around, but just the team makeup, getting rid of Devers really just didn't put this team in a good position. The Yankees, I hate to say it, but they might have the best pitching staff in the league. And it's kind of what you're going to need if you're going to try to beat the Dodgers. I don't think they can beat the Dodgers, but it's definitely what you need if you're going to be playing against the Dodgers. The Yankees, it all comes down to Aaron Judge. And that's what it just comes down to. Is he going to be an MVP-type player? If he's an MVP-type player, then yeah, you buy it, count on it. You'll see him in October. But if he's not, or he gets hurt, then there's not much more going on here. There's not much more to this team. But as far as pitching is concerned, I mean, Schittler has been amazing. You're going to get Gerrit Cole back. You're going to get Rendon.
So you're saying he's a bitch.
What's the guy's name, the lefty?
Rodon.
We're going to get Rodon back. And listen, Max Fried is pitching out of his mind. He's pitching for the way you paid him to pitch. He's come to New York, and he's definitely had a resurgence, a rejuvenation, and he doesn't look like the Max Fried that couldn't get any Cardinals out. That's good for them.
You could argue this is the strongest.
I don't even think Heel's pitched yet.
They're calling him up.
Warren's good. They're good. Schmidt's good too. They're good.
So they took 2 out of 3 from Seattle. That's their test so far. But Seattle hasn't been that great to start the season either. Now you're looking at, you got 3 against the A's. You got 3 at Tampa Bay against the Rays. The Rays always play the Yankees tough. Then you got a 4-game series against the Angels. take that for what it's worth. The real series...
I want to go to Anthony Rendon bobblehead night.
See? It just pull the string. So you're saying I'm a bitch.
So you're saying I'm a bitch.
Baseball is really a job for me. It's not that important. I wouldn't say it's really a priority. So for me, I'm looking starting April 17th, a 3-game series against the Royals. The Royals are a good team. You would say that, right? Then 3 at Fenway, followed by 3 at Houston, 3 at Texas, taking you into the beginning of May. That's more of a buzzsaw. That is enticing to me. You can pad these wins, but your competition's coming. And I want to see how you do in those games. Because the degree of difficulty will be higher. And then you'll have a 4-game series against the Orioles. So, which, who the hell knows? Like, the Orioles have been kind of disappointing, but we figured the pitching wasn't going to be there. So...
They lost the guy, too. Didn't they lose the guy?
Yeah, they lost the guy. They sent Dean Kramer down the minors. They have to call him up. They have to call up Cade Povich because one of their pitchers got a toe infection. So... shit, it's just my toe. But I'm earmarking from the 17th through the 29th. That stretch is where the Yankees are probably going to face a little bit of adversity because you're facing much better competition. But this is what you want to do, right? You want to get out as hot as you can. Sustaining that's going to be a problem. But that's for everybody. That's not specific to the Yankees. The Yankees do go through their lulls, but they can make it happen. Now, Aaron Judge is the key. I agree with that. Aaron Judge can't go completely in the toilet. He can't go all big dumpster on us.
Which he won't.
Right?
He won't go Cal Raleigh on them.
He can't go Cal Raleigh. No, absolutely not. But
they had to Rice, see him down. That's like, dude, he can't play today.
It's dude, bad. Can't
play. I think he just hit his first home run.
But you know what? That the game that the Yankees lost to them, he walked them off. So I don't count him out either. Like he's not going to be as good as he was last year. And I think we're on the same page as far as that's concerned. He's a good player, but he's not at that level. Like he played out of his mind last year. I don't see that. You know, but things are going great for the Yankees right now. Just ride it, enjoy it, but don't be too comfortable because inevitably they're going to go through their lulls. But it's a big time of happiness for them, and it's a big positive when Giancarlo Stanton is stealing bases. It's the first time he stole a base in like 5 years.
Can't open a bag of chips when he's stealing bases.
Hey man, we're feeling good right now. Joints are limber. All is well. All is well with the Yankees. But it's early. And you can rest assured that the Major League season comes for everybody. It's just not the Yankees' turn yet.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style featuring Hypercool Jade technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that could be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
More or less? All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either more likely or less likely to happen. More or less, number one, the New York Islanders get to the Stanley Cup Finals with Pete DeBoer as their head coach.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, how are you going to have Patrick Waugh the whole fucking season? And then because he loses four games in a row, you say, all right, you're out, bring in Pete DeBoer. We might not even make the playoffs if we already brought in Pete DeBoer. I mean, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say more likely, because to justify firing Patrick Waugh, who's a goalie, right? And we all know that a hot goalie is what you want in the playoffs. You would think that he could get, you know, the Islanders goalie on track for the Stanley Cup playoffs. You bring in DeBoer, who's a winner, right? He's a winner. Mm-hmm. We're not going to say he's not. We're not going to say he's not a great coach, because he's a great coach. But to bring him in with just under a week left in the season, but I'll say more likely they have to.
So here's the thing, and here's why it's more likely. History. The year 2000, the New Jersey Devils fired Robbie Fatorik with about a week to go in the season, promoted Larry Robinson from assistant coach to head coach. Lou Lamoriello was lambasted for this. It was a dick move. What are you doing? Why didn't you let Robbie Fatorik?
Dick move, bro.
They won the Stanley Cup. Sometimes you need a change in voice. And for Patrick Waugh, great coach. You saw it in Colorado. Didn't last long in Colorado. What did I say about Dan Hurley? He's an excitable fella. Patrick Waugh is an excitable fella. Like, he's a hothead. So it's one of those things that he may have worn out his welcome in the room. We don't know that. We should get Arthur Staple on and see if he has any insight into this. But he's the kind of guy that rubs you the wrong way. He grinds on you. He weighs on you. And then eventually he's like, go fuck yourself. You know, that eventually you pop off and now you've come to blows. Like, that's where you end up with Patrick Waugh.
I'm going to fight you.
Wait, but first let me do my wind sprints. God damn it. Is that Mark Sanchez? Why is he fighting Patrick Waugh? What the fuck is going on here?
What is going on?
But they have 89 points. They have to chase down the Penguins, the Flyers, the Red Wings, the Senators, and the Bruins. They haven't clinched yet. And they're ahead of the Red Wings. They just have to hold them off. If they can catch either the Flyers or the Senators, who have 90 points right now, I mean, they're in. They can make this happen. So sometimes you need a new voice. Sometimes you need that change. And I think, I mean, we saw Pete DeBoer go to the Cup Finals with the Dallas Stars. We've seen Pete DeBoer do this before. So would it surprise me? Hell no. Is it risky? Oh, hell yeah. But it's not like they're canning Patrick Waugh in favor of like the AHL affiliate coach. No, this is a guy who's got pedigree.
Down Tigers?
So, yeah, at least for now. Like, they're moving to Hamilton, Ontario. They're leaving Bridgeport. So that's an institution that's a shame. But
it's a beautiful jersey.
It is. They're going to be the
Hamilton. AHL has some great jerseys, man.
The AHL has some good logos, 100%. And great names, too, like the Lake Erie Monsters. Like, that's a great fucking name. It's a great name. The Hartford Wolfpack.
Get Kristen back in the show. She's a Lake Erie Monster.
100%. More or less, number two. The Lakers make it out of the first round without Austin Reeves and Luka.
Less likely. I don't see how that's going to happen. I do not see how that's going to happen. And it's crazy because LeBron is 41 years old and just doing fine. Luka's hamstrings, that's never going to be right. And he's a guy that kind of relies on the start and stop. He don't play a lick of defense. Now he's really not going to play any defense. And really, Reeves was one of the glues that kept this thing together. I mean, he was a surprise talent. So you're losing like over 57 points per game between the two of them. Forget it. Not happening.
Well, if the season ended today and the standings are what they are, they would draw the Rockets in the first round. That's less likely right there. The Rockets can pick this team off. Kevin Durant on his own can pick this team off, right? You just got to just put it in the hands of Mr. Burner, and it's all good, you know? And then he can, you know, go on X and talk about how great he was after the game. But, you know, you can't lose that caliber, two calibers of players. Now, Luka does not play any defense, but he does provide you with prolific offense, which is what you're going to need when you're dueling with the Rockets and Kevin Durant. You're going to need to outscore them. 100% you are. And I don't know if they can build that in the aggregate. But Reeves is the all-around player. They're going to miss him more because he's an all-around player. And I think that's something that is going to bite them in the ass. Now, they have, what, 4 games left in the season? They're on a 2-game losing streak.
They're not playing anybody tonight.
Yeah.
And they're playing the Thunder.
The Rockets are on a 6-game heater. So it's possible.
LeBron's not playing tonight and they're playing the Thunder.
Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. So we'll chalk that up as a loss. There is a possibility that this could be two ships passing in the night, right? Because they both have played 78 games. It is possible that the Rockets could jump them if the Lakers continue on this. But 4-5 is 4-5. If anything can happen in those series, it's as even can get. But without Luka and without Reeves, adios, muchacho. More or less number 3. San Francisco Giants GM Buster Posey outlasts manager Tony Vitello.
All right, I'm going to say more likely. They love Buster there. They're not going to give him too much of a hard time on the coaching situation. Their main problem is they can't get any free agents to fucking go there. They don't want anybody. Nobody wants to go play there for some weird reason. I was very adamant when Judge was a free agent. I didn't understand why he came back to the Bronx. He should go out there. But nobody wants to play there. Beautiful San Francisco. I don't know if it's the homeless people or what, but... Yeah, I think he outlasts them. I don't think Vitello makes it out of next season. We'll give him 2 years. But this has proved to be like, what were we thinking kind of thing? Like, he got tossed in the game. He's just grabbing for straws here, man. I mean, how do you get a guy that's never even played? Like, he's never even played. Oh, God. But we'll see how it turns out.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. But you know what? Let's talk about that Vitello ejection. He's out of the baseline. Like, you have a runner's length for a reason. He's running on the infield grass, motherfucker. That's an out. That's an out.
But God damn it!
You can't do that. You can't do that. Oh, my God. You figure it's more likely Buster Posey had his career there, won his MVP there, won his series there. Like, he's ingrained. Like, he's in. He's a made guy in San Francisco. Tony Vitello is made in Knoxville, Tennessee. Which makes this even weirder. Like, I understand, like, you want to challenge yourself. Like, we talked about, like, college coaches going to the pros. Like, can you do it? But you're such an institution in Tennessee that it makes little sense. And they fired Bob Melvin after they fired Gabe Kapler. Right? You brought in Willie Adames, Rafi Devers. You brought in Arise. Harrison Bader. Like, these are your moves. These are your moves. And I don't know. Like, I don't understand the vision. Now, you can get people. You're getting people to come. But are they difference makers? Right? Harrison Bader is an okay player. He was good in Minnesota. He had a decent run with Philly last year. He was an okay Met. He was an okay Cardinal. Is that the needle mover? Not particularly.
Played for the Yankees too, right?
Did play for the Yankees. He was an okay Yankee. right? You traded your closer in Camilo Doval for, like, what, bag of balls? Like, what did you get from him, right? Like, you traded Tyler Rogers. Okay, you got something a little bit more. You got Ryan Clifford. Okay. It's just a very, it's a middle-of-the-road team. Now, he's going to get afforded every luxury. He's going to get afforded every chance because he is ingrained with that team. He's enmeshed with that team. It's the only team he ever played for. Right? So, because of that, in Buster, they trust. Vitello is not going to get anywhere near that level of courtesy. And it's a matter of time. What they can't do is to go back to Bochy again.
No.
Right? The Bochy thing is... Now, if you're telling me that you want to bring in Bochy eventually as a VP of player personnel or like a ceremonial job once he's done with Texas... Sure. Okay, fine. But there's got to be something here. I don't see the vision. I don't see the vision. And if you can't get high-profile players to come here and take your money, right, then you're going to have to make those trades. So the Rafa Devers trade was a good trade. They didn't really give up anything. Kyle Harrison is not that good. Kyle Harrison is proving he's not that good. So, you know, if you can get that situation, if you can get that, sure, by all means. But you got to get creative and you kind of have to figure out something that's going to get high quality prospects and high quality players into your system. So, you got to start thinking like the Rays, you got to start thinking like the A's, you have to start thinking like the 50 feet of crap. Like, how do you get talent back onto this roster?
They have a good 1-2 punch with Webb and Robbie Ray.
Yeah, look at Robbie Ray. Like, they brought him in after Cy Young year, hasn't touched it since. So, like, Barry Zito went and died for a few years in San Francisco after he left Oakland. So they have had players choose them. They have. But are these the players that are going to move the needle for them? And outside of Barry Bonds, it's like few and far between in terms of free agents have actually like moved the needle. So we'll see. But I think he has a little bit of grace. Maybe not necessarily deserved, but he's got it. And kind of play it out and see where it goes. But Vitello, no loyalty to him whatsoever.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRoutDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutPodcast, and you vote. And you vote, you vote, you vote. And winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, Deep?
I don't.
That would be Eldrick Tiger Woods.
Ooh.
Don't drink and drive, kids. Don't drink and drive.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
It's a bad look, considering the fact that this is not the first time it's happened. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Legend Superstar of the Week?
All right, so first up, I've got a guard on the Los Angeles Lakers, Bronny James. During the Lakers' blowout loss to the Thunder last week, J.J. Redick decided to have Bronny play point guard. Oh, and Carson Wallace loved every second of it. The Thunder guard was not having it. Forced Bronny into two turnovers, which resulted in points for the Thunder. He's not a point guard, J.J. Please just, he's here because his dad's here. Bronny James, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I've got the University of North Carolina hiring Mike Malone to be the next head coach. Dude has no ties to the University of North Carolina. First Bill Belichick, now Mike Malone. I don't know what the Tar Heel Nation's thinking. North Carolina, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, UConn women's head coach Gino Auriemma. Beef with Dawn Staley after losing to her in the Final Four. Just, dude, be the better person. Congratulate her on her victory and talk to her another day. Not night, right now, not on TV. All over a pregame routine that you've thought up in your head. You stole the moment for her. You stole the moment for her team. And you stole the moment for your team just because of your pride. Gino Auriemma, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Can't argue with a lot of those. You really can't argue with a lot of those. I am going to start with Manny Machado.
Just Manny being Manny.
We've seen this before with Manny being Manny. Except, in this case, it's a little different. He's not peeing.
Nobody lost their career here.
Right, yeah. Well, in the latest case of Machado being Machado, we have a back pick in the Red Sox-Padres game. And it's not a great throw. Right? It's objectively not a great throw. It's not even a good throw. But Wilson Contreras, the first baseman, is in line to pick the ball. Machado seems to stutter step and kick and redirect the ball out of play, out of bounds, I should say, down the line. Start the merry-go-round, kids. Now, this isn't the first time that Manny Machado has done borderline things, right? We've seen him spike guys. We've seen, you know, altercations at first base. It's not his first go-round. It's not his first little bit. But to pull a FIFA move out, it's a new one for him. Now, you wonder about the legality of the move. There are two incidents that you immediately think of. Reggie Jackson in the World Series, and then A-Rod. A-Rod was called out for slapping the ball out of Bronson Arroyo's glove. Reggie was already out. It was a fielder's choice, and they stuck his hip out. How was that allowed to stand? Now, that's revisionist history. Like, we'd have to go into a time machine and do that. But people were saying it was a dirty play. Not dirty. Dirty's not the word I would use. Bush. Completely fucking bush league. I would say bush. Like, the fact that you're using dirty, it's not the right word.
The thing he did to Dustin Pedroia was dirty.
That was dirty. Like, spiking the dude in the calf, that's fucking dirty. Like, spiking Jesus Aguilar at first base, that was dirty. This is just bush league. So he's growing. He's growing. Congratulations, Manny. Manny Machado, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, the New York Rangers. But why, you may be asking? Because they're on a winning streak. Precisely. They're on a winning streak after they got eliminated from the playoffs and they're looking like fucking giant killers. They knocked off the Red Wings, who are fighting for a playoff spot, and they destroyed the Capitals 8-1. 8-1! Will Cooley had a hat trick. Where was this during the season? Where was this? 100th year. This was supposed to be a big fucking deal. Where was this? It's too little, too late. Oh, it's just frustrating. New York Rangers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the Utah Mammoth. Why, you may be asking. Here's why. They're unveiling their new Zamoth. A mammoth Zamboni. You know what it looks like? It looks like something out of Power Rangers. It looks like the blue Mastodon. I'm waiting for it to transform. I'm waiting for the other pieces to come together.
Go, go, Power Ranger. Do, do,
I'm waiting for the Megazord.
Go, go, Power Rangers. You mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Exactly. It is absurd. It is absurd. But, hey, the kids will love it. Utah Mammoth, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.